Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Happy draft week to all who celebrate. We're here and ready to get you ready for Thursday right here on the Three Technique.
One man. Goodbye. Hello, Heisman.
20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45. There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game.
Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of The Three Technique. I'm Trey Reeves. I'm joined by Mitch Mason. First Trey and Mitch show that we've had in quite some time. It's good to be back with you. And I got to confess, as that intro was going, I was trying to think of like a Night Before Christmas knockoff that I could lead this part in. Like, the prospects were all nestled in their three-piece suits and I with my clipboard and Mitch with his pen. I couldn't get much further than that, but we're excited to be breaking down our last pre-draft show for you guys. We're recording this on Monday night. The draft starts Thursday. It's a three-day affair now, of course. Thursday, Friday, Saturday on the four-letter network and NFL Network and ABC. You're going to find it all over the place this weekend. But Mitch, as we get down to the final hours before this is silly season with some of the rumors that are coming out, we're going to go over your mock draft in a segment today, your final mock draft that you did a great job on. How do you sift through the silly season? How do you sift through the rumors and try to figure out what are the smoke screens and what are actual tips that are going to help you make a solid mock draft?
And it is silly season. It's so funny because it feels like January through most of March, right? Well past the combine, you've got kind of everyone almost slotted into their proverbial new homes. And then out of nowhere, it's like, well, you know, this team is meeting with this player. And gosh, all of a sudden that team that has a Pro Bowl quarterback, they might be hunting his future replacement 3 or 4 years out. Like, you get these weird rumors and it's all agents, it's all camps, it's teams trying to deflect. So like you said, it's a bunch of smoke screens. I don't know if you can ever fully sift through, but I have a couple of guys that I really trust. And I know that they put out some of that smoke screen material because it's what they are told. And, you know, you always want to pay attention to those last two or three mock drafts. That's when guys like Dane Brugler have said, you know, that's when we're starting to really get through all of the rumor and the clutter. We know kind of what truth is versus what their agents are putting out. And there's a line you have to walk between that. But really, I think as we get to the draft week, there's a couple of guys that I like to read and gals who I think call it pretty close to the chest. And their mock drafts are more projections than they are kind of beholden to rumors or allegiances that they might have with other front offices. And I appreciate that for sure, but it is, man, it's tough. I tell you what, I've got some hot takes coming up as well that maybe that's based off of the rumors, maybe not, but some fan bases, I look around the league right now and I go, ugh, you're going to be mad come Thursday, Friday, Saturday night when all this wraps up.
Yeah. And, you know, everybody's trying to get an edge. Everybody's trying to read the tea leaves here. And it just makes for a really exciting couple of days, right? Even the second and third rounds always have a ton of surprises. Once you get to the fourth through seventh on Saturday, it's a lot of just looking for your favorite college players, right? And seeing where they're going to end up and get a chance to continue their pro aspirations. Couldn't be more excited. We are in the works planning exactly what we're going to do Thursday night. Stay tuned on the channel for that. But we will be breaking down something Thursday night, most likely towards the end of the first round or right after the 32nd pick of the first round. We will be, Mitch and I at least. Garrett is, if you're wondering where he is possibly welcoming a child into the world. So he's a bit preoccupied right now. And I would be highly surprised if he was with us on Thursday night. We'd probably tell him no if he wanted to.
Right.
But yeah, he's doing dad stuff. We're really excited for him. Also, you know, before we get into it, let's talk about our sponsors real quick. You guys know them well by now, but Home Field Apparel is our main sponsor of this show. They've been good to us for so long. And they're still running their promo where you can use code 3TechPod to get 15% off your entire order. Maybe you're a draft potential draft pick listening to the show. I don't know. And you want to rep your school on draft night with a really cool retro logo? Go to Home Field Apparel. If you don't already have an NIL deal with them, go use our code 3TechPod to get 15% off your entire order. And if you are a repeat customer, use that link on Twitter to make sure you are getting your discount. And we are also brought to you by the good folks over at Baller Pickleball. And guys, I'm telling you, as we get into the spring, we are definitely in the middle of pickleball season. It is an awesome time to get outside. My wife and I love playing with our baller paddles. They're a perfect combination of high quality materials, but at a very, very affordable price. You're getting a premium tool to hone in your craft on the court at an incredible price. Use our code 3TechPod for 10% off your whole order at checkout and get ready to dominate the court with Baller Pickleball. Mitch, without further ado, we're going to start off tonight with some draft prop bets. And these are really fun. I don't recommend necessarily investing your hard-earned American currency in some of these because the value propositions versus what we think we know versus all the smoke screens that we were talking about in the intro tonight, it's just almost impossible to sort through. But it does give us some really fun stuff to talk about in the final days leading up to the draft here. So without further ado, let's jump right in. Let's start at the top, almost the top. I don't want to say exactly the top, but let's start at the almost top, second overall pick. And we have a clear favorite, obviously, at minus 400, Jaden Daniels. But the other two quarterbacks, Drake May, JJ McCarthy, where are you leaning? You can kind of tease your mock draft selection here with some of these prop bet picks. But let's talk about where you're leaning with the second overall pick.
Yeah, I tell you what, if you do partake in a little financial investment on draft night, this is a pick that I would potentially stay away from. There are prop bets on any of the picks. This one might be the most smoke screeny of all of the picks, because as you read into what the Commanders are thinking from their beat writers, from national people, there is no consensus. As much as the current rumor, the flavor of the month, is Jaden Daniels going number two, no one is actually able to authoritatively stake a claim to who the Commanders are going to pick at quarterback. So they may pick Jaden Daniels. And in fact, I think Jaden Daniels might fit what the Commanders want to do, which is in part make football fun again. That organization has mistreated their fan base for so long. Now they have a new ownership. They have a new head coach, a whole new staff. But part of what they need to do is make football fun again. The New England Patriots can say the same thing at number three. And I think Jaden Daniels is that guy that will make it entertaining. You got to protect him, no doubt about it. You got to have weapons for him to throw to. And I'll say this, folks that are expecting Jaden Daniels to go to the NFL and have immediate success running, being athletic, I think are going to be sorely disappointed, because you can't out-athlete guys at the NFL level like you can in college. But all of that being said, there are cases for both Drake May and Jaden Daniels to go at number two. Daniels is a more proven of a winner. Drake May, a little bit of a superhero complex. And again, he wasn't working with much at North Carolina. So if I had to put money on this, I would stick with Drake May. And in my mock draft, we'll get to in a minute, I do have May going at number two to the Commanders. But as you know, I sent you an email earlier today, first version of the mock draft, and I did a couple of them before deciding, okay, this is the one that I want to make my final one. The first version had Jaden Daniels at number two. So it's very tough to pick, but if you are going to dabble, keep the amount small. Keep it manageable. That's all I'll say, because as much as these odds seem to reflect a clear favorite, the experts in the industry, anyone that you're going to read on the record, cannot definitively give you an answer here.
Yeah, it's one of the more fascinating. I don't think the smoke screens are as obviously wrong as the Will Levis going number two overall that we had this time last year. I don't know if you remember that. Garrett and I did this prop bet show last year, and we were just we were just dumbfounded that anyone would think that that was remotely possible, and that turned out to be correct, as he didn't go till the second round. I'm leaning Jaden Daniels here. One just small thing that I don't know I've heard a lot of people talk about. Do you think Washington's affected at all by already having a North Carolina quarterback on their roster? Is that weighing in there? I'm like, serious question. Like, I wonder if that's weighing in their minds at all. Like, if we tried Sam Howell, do we want another guy from the system?
It shouldn't, because Drake May and Sam Howell are two totally different players, right? Like, Howell was a gamer, a grinder, a guy that just kind of manufactured things. Drake May has all the tools. Given the right system and an offensive line, I think he can be really successful. He just needs some coaching, really, to trust his teammates. In North Carolina, when he turned the football over, when he made poor decisions, especially in the fourth quarter, it was because it felt like he put on that superhero cape before the drive and said, "Don't worry, guys, I've got this." But when it's 1 versus 11, you're not going to be all that successful. So I think if May can relax and settle into a system that will support him, I think he can be the better of the two quarterbacks, because he's got the tools. He's got the prototypical quarterback build that all 32 NFL franchises will covet. The question is just, do they trust him to figure out how to win as he steps up a level of competition? That's an answer that honestly will depend on which war room you walk into.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see. And the draft really starts here at number two, right? I think that this pick is going to dictate what the Patriots do at three. It's going to dictate all the way down the board whatever happens here at two. Let's go a little bit related to this one. Obviously, J.J. McCarthy, a lot of smoke screens right now. We had him at plus 1,100, I believe, to be second overall. That's way up from where it got down into the plus 500 or 600 range, I think, a couple days ago.
Yeah.
Now kind of settled out. I think most people have realized that he's probably not going number two overall. But you can bet if you so choose. Do you think he will go over 5.5 or under 5.5? And just for clarification here, over means after 5.5, under means before 5.5.
Yep.
Because that can be a little confusing. But J.J. McCarthy, maybe one of the most polarizing players in this entire draft. If he doesn't go four, I could see him falling all the way out of the top 10.
It's interesting to try and guess where he goes. I do think it's more likely that he's a top four pick. I think we're going to get a run on four quarterbacks out the gate of this year's draft. But like you said, if he slips past four, Cardinals currently hold the fourth overall selection. You've got teams like Denver, Minnesota, who would like to trade up, Las Vegas as well, that would like to find a way to trade up to get their new franchise quarterback. The Chargers at number five would like to trade out as well. But if you're a team that wants to get up into that top four, you've got to know that there are other teams working the phone with the Cardinals as well. And the Cardinals have shown a propensity to trade out and then trade back in to the top 10 like they did last year. So I think if you want the quarterback, you got to go all the way up to four to make him. You know, you're a kind of a side piece Denver Broncos fan. I know that you feel like maybe
we got Zach Wilson, man. We're all good.
Well, hey, you know, I texted you congratulations on that trade earlier today. The franchise is saved. You know, is he the right fit in Denver? Sean Payton keeps saying, well, it's got to be the right fit. It's got to be, you know, for Payton, it better be his dude. It's clear that it's his way or the highway. Do the Raiders have enough to trade back, or are they willing to maybe sit, wait, and go get a guy like Penix or Bo Nix? That's really what you're kind of weighing here if you're taking this prop bet. For my money, I think we get a run on four quarterbacks and four picks.
I think we do too. If it's my money, I'm going to take the under, but my one caution here and why you might like the value of over 5.5 a little bit better is it does take two to tango with these trades. And if I'm the Arizona Cardinals and I'm sitting there at four and you're offering me maybe a king's ransom to trade back, is that worth giving up Marvin Harrison Jr., who is a generational talent at wide receiver? I'm probably not going to get him unless, like you said, you trade back then to trade back up to the fifth pick, because I don't think he's making it past Marvin Harrison Jr. would not make it past five. I think any of the teams around that range would definitely take that as a huge gift that he fell to them. So that's my one caution with everyone kind of penciling in someone trading up to four is I don't know that it's a difficult decision for Arizona.
It absolutely is, but they are in Chicago's in the most enviable position with two top 10 picks. There was a conversation for a long time that they would maybe trade out a number one. They're not doing that. They're going to take Caleb Williams, quarterback out of USC, with number
one. There's a reason we started with the second pick.
That's right. The draft starts at pick number two, like you said. But then having number nine, are they willing to go up with some of their assets as well to go get Marvin Harrison? Can they get another wide receiver later in the draft? Ton of options. And obviously the benefactor of all of those potential decisions is the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah. And the Patriots have been rumored to be trade back possibly too. Like, I don't know why they would do that when a solid quarterback is going to be right there and they desperately need that. But
yeah,
they also have a lot of holes on that roster. Mitch, let's move on to our next one. First defensive player taken. We've got five selections here. I'll let you just take the floor. You can take it from a value standpoint. You can take it from a who you actually think will go first standpoint. What's catching your eye on that board?
I tell you what, I mean, obviously the favorite's Dallas Turner, edge rusher out of Alabama. He's been linked pretty heavily to the Atlanta Falcons at number eight. They need edge pressure, and there's not a team before them that needs a defender the way that Atlanta does. It depends on who trades in and who trades out of those spots. But for my money, I feel like Dallas Turner at eight is a pretty safe bet. That's where I've got him going. That's where a lot of the very reputable mock drafts are going. I actually like Byron Murphy or Jared Verse over Laitu Latu. Now, that's a personal thing. Latu shows a lot of potential, and he's flashed, but he's very inconsistent. He ends up on the ground a lot when you watch that tape. And so some teams are going to fall in love with him. Some teams are going to say, I don't know that you are going to be, you know, that X factor off the edge. Dallas Turner is a very much more complete player. I think Jared Verse is bigger, more physical. So for my money, he's my second edge rusher. And then Byron Murphy is just a wrecking ball up the middle. I would be surprised if he went as the first defender. Again, it just looks like it would safely be Dallas Turner, but those odds are very close. So, you know, the models are not necessarily agreeing with that as wholeheartedly as they are Jaden Daniels going number two, for instance.
Yeah. And that was interesting to me that Dallas Turner was not even money or below betting wise, that you can get him plus 110. If you're just listening to this, we got Dallas Turner plus 110, Latu is plus 225, Byron Murphy plus 450, Jared Verse plus 550, and Quinyon Mitchell at plus 1200. Man, I love my boy Quinyon, but I don't think I would lay any actual money on him going becoming the first defensive player. But hey, maybe someone falls in love and desperately needs a corner and wants to come up and get him. I don't know.
First corner, I think he could very easily be him and Terry. I would bet on him there.
I would definitely bet on him to be the first corner taken. I'm right there with you. I think Dallas Turner has just been. I said the same thing last year about Will Anderson. There were some, you know, rumblings that he might not be the first defensive player, but he's just been penciled in for over a year as the top defender in this draft class. I think there's also something to be said about a fan answering to a fan base. It's like, why did you take this guy over the guy that we've heard nothing about for over a year? Right. And I know that you're not supposed to do that as a GM, but those pressures do exist. And
so real.
With that, I'm going to take Dallas Turner as well. Agree with you on that one. A couple more for you guys. The most polarizing wide receiver that could potentially go in the first round, Adonai Mitchell out of Texas by way of Georgia. 27.5 is the line over under over 27.5. So after the 27th pick of the first round is the prevailing favorite at minus 165, plus 130 if you want to gamble that he goes before the 27th pick of the draft.
Well, so I'll kick it back to you because you've been deep in the anti Adonai Mitchell hive as far as why he's not going to work out. But basically, just to set the stage, this comes down to whether or not the Buffalo Bills trade up or not to go get him. Mm-hmm. Almost everywhere I've looked, the Bills are taking one of the Texas wide receivers in the first round, especially now that they've traded Stephon Diggs to Houston. They need a guy who's going to go get the ball for Josh Allen. The question though, Trey, is can Mitchell run a route tree? Cause they've got Gabe Davis to go speedy run fast down the field. You are firmly kind of planting the flag that this guy might just be a one hit wonder.
I'm just reading the tea leaves of some really deep analytics guys that I follow. And you know, the advanced stats really don't like Adonai Mitchell in the NFL. That takes nothing away from what he did in college. He's a fantastic college receiver, but there's a ton of guys every single year that are fantastic college receivers that just don't pan out in the NFL. There's a ton of guys that go in the first round that aren't panning out in the NFL. So, you know, when you look at ADOT, average depth of target, average yards per out run, all these advanced statistics, they really don't like Adonai Mitchell, and they profile him more towards some of the more famous first-round busts like Laquon Treadwell or just a couple other guys, Corey Davis, a couple other guys that just are not productive NFL receivers. And again, Laquon Treadwell and Corey Davis were fantastic college wide receivers, and Adonai Mitchell was as well, but the advanced analytics, one guy that I really respect in this realm, put it this way, is Adonai Mitchell, based on his profile in some of these statistics, is either going to be a first round bust or literally break every model that these guys have. So I don't know. Like, do you trust the nerds or do you trust your eyes on the field? It's a tough call every single year.
Listen, the nerds are taking it on the chin a little bit in baseball. Some of their advanced analytics, like the king of advanced analytics in baseball this preseason came out and was like, yeah, basically, like, you can't take our stuff as gospel. Like, you got to watch the game. So, you know, that hasn't necessarily happened in the NFL yet, but maybe it's a guy like Adonai who's going to, like you said, break the mold and we got to go back to the drawing board.
Yeah, and it absolutely could happen that way. I'm going to take the under. I'm going to take under here. I like the value of it. And there's also the possibility that it could be a surprise receiver that no one's talking about, right? Like everyone's just kind of penciling in the two Texas receivers at the end, obviously two very talented, but what if Buffalo just falls in love with Ladd McConkey? Or what if they fall in love with, I know that sounds crazy, but like crazier things about, I'm old enough to remember when the Chiefs took Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the first round a couple of years ago, and no one had that happening. And I don't know. I'm just going to read the tea leaves here. Doesn't mean he won't go in the first round, but I'm going to take under 27, over 27 and a half. I'm sorry.
That would, that, oh, I thought you were going.
Yeah, I screwed that up. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to take over 27 and a half after the 27th pick. I screwed that up. I over-explained it earlier and I still screwed it up.
Okay. I'm liking where you go. Yeah. Like I said, it's does Buffalo trade up? Some mocks have them trading up. Mine, I couldn't find that dance partner late in the draft that was willing. Like you said, takes two to tango. I have other trades in this mock draft, but Buffalo moving up past 28 was not one of them. I would also lean over, which is the betting favorite.
I was just zigging and zagging all over there, man. I
lost in the sauce.
All right, a couple more here. The quarterbacks. And these next two kind of go together because we're going to talk about who's drafted first and then get into how many actual quarterbacks will be taken in the first round. So this will go together. Michael Penix Jr. versus Bo Nix. Michael Penix, the odds-on favorite between the two to be drafted first at minus 275. Bo Nix at plus 215. This is, I'm going to read the tea leaves with the odds. This is Michael Penix for me.
Yeah. For this, it's who do you think a team is trading into the first round to go get, in my opinion. For me, based on what we saw at all of the various pro days, combine, Senior Bowl, combined with some of those analytics that really question if Nix has the goods to deliver the ball like he did in college at the NFL level, I'm also going to take Michael Penix Jr. Now, I have severe concerns about Michael Penix. The first time he played a real defense against the Wolverines, he looked beyond average. So he's going to have a steep learning curve, but which guy is more likely to have that phone ring at the end of the first round, and it's a team trading up to go get them? For me, it's Michael Penix. Then again, man, you could very easily see both of these guys go. If the Broncos don't get their quarterback, if the Raiders don't get their quarterback, maybe you've got both teams on the phone trading up into the first round late day one, kind of a la Lamar Jackson. I think this draft has the potential to be one of the most exciting from kind of stem to stern that we've had in quite some time. And I think it's thanks to the quarterbacks.
So you think at least one of these guys will go in the first round? Yes,
I do. I have Michael Penix Jr. going at the end of the first round.
Okay. So I'm going to amend this next prop bet because we have the official over under of total first round quarterbacks is 4.5.
Yep.
And that means one of Michael Penix Jr. and Bo Nix goes, or a wild card, obviously, but it's going to be one of those two if there's a fifth quarterback taken. Let's bump it up to 5.5.
Yeah.
Are there more than five quarterbacks taken in the first round on Thursday night?
Well, I'll say this for the current line at 4.5. I think it's a great line because it requires, in my mind, a team to trade up. If it's 5.5, I'm going to go under. I do not have a team coming up to get Bo Nix. I think he goes early day two. But if I was putting money on this, I would go over 4.5. If it moves to 5.5, I probably wouldn't touch it. But if I had to, I would say under. I would pick five quarterbacks.
I'm going to take under the 4.5. I think there's going to be a standoff.
Love that.
I think there's going to be a standoff in the second round and no one's going to want to blink first. Right. And just think that at the end of the first round, we can all just kind of wait and see who moves up. And then we'll all go to bed Thursday night and somebody will make a big move to jump up to the top of the second round. But I'm going to go under 4.5. I think JJ McCarthy is the last quarterback taken in the first round whenever he does go. Last one, Mitch, this one's just for fun because who the heck knows? It's so wild every single year. Total first round trades on draft day. Important clarifier there. On draft day, over or under 6.5. Last year, it was 6 on draft day.
Yeah. I'm gonna lean under here, and I know that may sound boring. It's the betting favorite, but there's a reason why it's the betting favorite. Really, absolutely. You know, I teased hot takes earlier. One of my first hot takes is Drake May is the comeback kid. He goes number two to the Commanders here. But other than that, I do this late in the game. I do trust Vegas and what they know. It's tight. It's a great line. Vegas wouldn't be in business if they weren't in the habit of setting great lines. For me, I really worked to get trades in here because there are obvious spots where teams should go up. They have the capital to do so. I didn't feel like I was rigging the system to make trades happen. But five or six to me feels like kind of the sweet spot for this first round. I think if we get more than six, this is going to be a chaotic draft night. We're going to be, you know, maybe going an hour plus on the recap just because I can't see that happening right now.
Give me the chaos just for fun. Let's take over 6.5. I meant to research this earlier and I failed to do it. So if someone knows the last time we went over 6.5 trades, for some reason, I feel like that COVID draft was that way, but yeah. Maybe I'm wrong. It could have just been chaos with the order that players were taken, but give me the chaos. This is just me picking from the heart and rooting for a really entertaining Thursday night. Well, Mitch, that's a lot of fun picks. I've kept track of them. We'll keep score throughout the night on Thursday, see who has the better luck in these prop bets. We're going to take a quick break, and we will go straight into Mitch's final mock draft before the first round. Well, we're back, and it's time to go over Mitch's final mock draft. Last one, best one, right? Doesn't matter what you said in your first one. Doesn't matter what Hopefully. You said in the middle, but let's get the last one right. And Mitch, if you're reading the tea leaves with Mitch's prop bet picks earlier in the show, you're going to know some of this. He's given away some of his hand here, but I'll bring it up full screen just so you guys can see the full first round draft board, and we can zero in on a couple different spots. Caleb Williams off the top, Drake May second, Jaden Daniels to the Patriots, and JJ McCarthy getting the Vikings trading up to four. Mitch, what does that trade look like in your mind? Let's start there. What are the Vikings giving up to move from 11 to right 11 to four?
Yep. Jumping, you're right. On the board, if you're watching on YouTube, you're going, wait, that doesn't make sense. It will in just a minute. So, yes, the Vikings going up to four from 11 with the Arizona Cardinals. Minnesota gives up a second, a fourth, and a future third, I believe, in my mock to get that done. It's a nice haul for Arizona, once again, who is really in the catbird seat. They don't have to take wide receiver at number four. And they know that teams want that pick. So I think following the job that Ryan Poles has done in Chicago, following maybe some of the model that the Texans have shown, you trade out, collect that draft capital. And then if you want to reassert yourself with that draft capital, which if you're watching on YouTube, you're doing the mental math, you see the Cardinals do for a second straight year, that's when you decide to play your hand. But for the Vikings, they need a new quarterback. Kirk Cousins is in Atlanta making all the money. Minnesota has been stuck in neutral, it's felt like, for forever. And they've tried to build the offensive line. They've tried to build the defense. It's felt like they've wasted some tremendous defenses. And now you got to kind of hit the reset button, right? And you've got some fantastic offensive weapons, but you got to have that quarterback to go do it. I've been very public about my doubt surrounding JJ McCarthy, but at the end of the day, if you can't convince New England to trade out at number three, I think a lot of jobs are potentially on the line in Minnesota in 2024, and having a quarterback like JJ McCarthy, maybe it works. It's not ideal for him. I think he needs a season to sit and wait behind a veteran quarterback. But you know, maybe if you're the Vikings, you know, this is kind of your play for this season. And in the NFC North, that, you know, now the Lions are the favorites. Chicago is going to be coming on strong. Green Bay is always a threat to make the playoffs. I mean, Jordan Love looks like he's doing good things there. So the Vikings are suddenly in danger of being the cellar dweller in the NFC North. I think they have to have a quarterback to at least keep up with the rest of the competition.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think they are the most likely of that group of teams to be able to jump up that high. They're going to be able to put together the best package. And for JJ McCarthy, this is a fantastic situation for him, right? Like getting Justin Jefferson, getting Addison, getting TJ Hockenson to throw the ball to, Aaron Jones in the backfield. That's a fantastic situation for McCarthy. Going down the list a little bit more, Joe Alt, the first offensive lineman off the board. Jim Harbaugh getting his high T offense off to a great start there with the best tackle in this draft. Marvin Harrison Jr. to the Giants. That pains me as a Cowboys fan because yep. That's going to suck for the next 10 years if this comes to fruition. And then the Cardinals get a really nice consolation prize in Rome Odunze. I think if you're a Cardinals fan, I know, you know, some Cardinals fans that I listen to in the podcasting world, more from the fantasy side, over at the Fantasy Footballers, they are all in on the Marvin Harrison Jr. train, but I think they'd be happy with Rome Odunze too.
Yeah, it's tough because the Cardinals absolutely could stand in and take what a lot of people have just assumed for a long time is wide receiver one and Marvin Harrison Jr. From what I keep reading, though, and hearing, it's not that cut and dry in war rooms as teams prepare for draft night. There are teams that have Marvin Harrison as wide receiver one. There are teams that have Rome Odunze as wide receiver number one. And there are also teams that have Malik Nabers from LSU as their top option. So for Arizona, I think there's a great chance to trade out and then potentially trade back in, like I have them at number 7, going to get Rome Odunze. You pick up picks later in the draft. You can swap lesser value picks. You go up fewer spots than with Tennessee, who trades out at number 7. They're happy to go get an offensive lineman. There are a number of tackles in this draft, and Arizona can go get that top playmaker at wide receiver. It really just depends on what trait you like best as your top wide receiver. And I think the Cardinals obviously would be thrilled with Marvin Harrison Jr. I think if there is a potential to pick up the capital that they could and trade out of that, that's probably their lean at this point when you have guys like Odunze and Nabers also on the draft board.
Yeah, and you'll see there, if you're cheating ahead with the Cardinals towards the end there, you'll see their nice consolation prize that yeah. They pick up at 23 for their efforts. Dallas Turner, we talked a lot about him in the prop bet segment. Go back to that part if you want to hear our thoughts on him at 8. Nabers, Bowers, Fuaga at 9, 10, 11 to the Bears, Jets, and Titans, respectively. Yep. Jared Verse, I think this could be a steal of a draft, man. Like we mentioned it earlier in the first defensive player segment. He's edge 2, I think, for both of us. For me, he's maybe borderline edge 1. I could yeah. make the case for him over Dallas Turner.
You certainly can. I think the concerns for both of them are they going to be physical enough in the running game to contribute at the NFL level? That was a question mark for both of them coming out of college. But Jared Verse, remember back to 2023, this was a top 10 pick. This guy was going at a premium draft slot, and then he decided to go back to school. It almost paid dividends on the college level when they should have gotten into the college football playoff. It may have cost him a little bit of money in the NFL level, but I don't think by much. And I think Denver is a decent place for him to land if they are not going to move up and go get the quarterback and JJ McCarthy at 4. Maybe McCarthy slides past the top 5 and the Broncos are able to go up and get him at a little bit later of a pick and less draft value. That remains to be seen. But if Verse falls to number 12, I think this is a great selection for Denver. And I agree. I'm very interested to see his NFL career.
Yeah. I he just seems like a ready-made 10-year defender in the NFL. Like he yep. built for it, going to have the durability. I'm really excited to see him. Hope he goes to the Broncos. I think that'd be a great pick. Fontenot, you did me dirty on having that back to back, but a couple of tackles to the Raiders and Saints and Quinyon Mitchell. guy that we've been trying to bang the drum for all off season goes to the Colts. I think that's a great fit for him and really fills a position of need for the Colts as they try to guard all of the plethora of receivers that the Houston Texans now have all of a sudden. Arnold from Alabama goes to Philadelphia. Is that a trade up for Philly there?
It is. Philly would be trading up with Seattle in that situation. I'll tell you this, we're Cowboys fans, so you're not going to love to hear this, but I think the Eagles may even want to trade up into the top 12 or 13, depending on who's working the phones. I love the way that the Eagles have run their draft over the last several years. I think there's a really good chance that they trade up even higher to go get their corner. It could be Terry and Arnold. In this situation, I have Terry and Arnold as kind of the consolidation prize or consolation prize at number 16. If the Eagles go get Quinyon Mitchell, that is a guy that will win in the NFC East. He's fast, he's physical, and he loves to win. That is your worst nightmare, I think, right now, other than like a game-breaking wide receiver like Brock Bowers falling to the Eagles somehow. But I think a physical cornerback who can pick off the ball, who could stuff CD at the line of scrimmage on, you know, you flip a coin basically, and you could have your wide receiver one out of the play from the jump. That's nightmare fuel for the rest of the NFC East.
Absolutely. Like like I said, we've been banging that drum all off season. He's going to be a pro's pro and a long time starter for someone who's lucky enough to take him. Brian Thomas Jr. at 17. I think that's a steal that low, honestly, for the Jaguars. I think that would be a fantastic pick for them in a position of need. Byron Murphy, the defensive tackle from Texas, goes to Cincinnati. And Leatu Latu, I think I'm higher on him than you are potentially. I don't know that he falls all the way to 19. I think someone's going to take a chance on him. I know the injury concerns are definitely there.
Yep.
If he goes to 19 at the Rams, I think that's a fantastic value for them.
I think it would be great value for the Rams too. Honestly, for me, it's when I'm looking at the board, it's where is the best fit? And you've got the Raiders who, if they pass on, if the quarterbacks are off the board, I think they're going to wait till the end of the first round to then maybe move back up to get a quarterback. So they need offensive line help. The Saints need offensive line help. The Saints could also use an edge rusher. So maybe it's Verse that goes there to the Saints. Maybe it's Latu. Again, I think Marcus Davenport was such a whiff for the Saints, who traded up for him in, I believe, 2019. And it was injury concerns. It was a lack of physicality that just kind of prevented him, I think, from reaching that ceiling. I've got the same concerns with Latu. And so do the Saints want to walk back down that road again? I don't know. I don't think Colts or the Seahawks, if they stand in there at 16, would necessarily take edge, but maybe the Seahawks are willing to pull the trigger there. It'll vary depending on who you ask. And if you're asking me, I had him falling all the way to 19.
Again, I think that could be a really good value, and it's going to depend on if he can stay healthy for sure. And as so many of these guys will have that concern. Tell me about the next three offensive linemen here. We go three different offensive linemen, three very different offensive linemen at 2021-22.
Yeah, so Amarius Mims off the board to the Steelers, a guy who only has, I believe, 8 collegiate starts, but he's a mountain of a man. He's physical, good feet, and probably, in my mind, maybe has the highest ceiling if he can put it together from all these tackles. Played for the University of Georgia. Steelers need a tackle to protect whoever's going to play quarterback. It's the Waste Management Open back there in the pocket. So whoever they go with is going to need a strong blind side. And I think Amarius Mims could certainly be that. Injury concerns exist with him. I think that's what limits him from maybe going in the top 15. Jaxson Powers-Johnson is one of our favorite offensive linemen in this draft. He literally started at all 5 positions for Oregon. He's a road grader in the running game. He can protect the quarterback in the passing game. He's got good feet, good hands, really uses the leverage that he has to keep his hands inside the body. So I think he could play any of the positions, but I think he's probably best inside at center or guard. The Dolphins need a center. I think he plugs in well there. And then Graham Barton, offensive lineman from Duke, another versatile guy who probably profiles best inside to the Seahawks. They need some interior line help. I think Graham Barton is physically nasty, was prevented from doing like the Senior Bowl and stuff like that because of injury. But when he's back and healthy, he's up there with the best of them.
Yeah, JPJ, man, I don't, has, other than maybe Quinyon Mitchell, is there anybody that's risen further in this draft class perception wise? Like, he just seemed to come, like, obviously a great college player, but it seemed like he was kind of came out of nowhere from the first round mocks around February.
Yeah, I think him or Jaden Daniels or JJ McCarthy, who started this cycle as round two quarterbacks, right? But no, you're dead on. I mean, it's felt like as scouts have gotten more combine and camp tape on him, they've fallen in love with him. And from what I've heard, he crushed the interview process as well. So certainly one of those draft day darlings.
All right. Well, as we round out this first round, the Cardinals consolation prize for trading is fantastic. And is he going by Johnny? Do we know?
I have no idea. Everywhere other than Pro Football Focus or whatever engine I use, it's Jerzon Newton. So yeah. I don't know where Johnny Newton is coming from.
Jerzon for the last like 4 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, Jerzon, Johnny, whatever he wants to go by, whatever his mama calls him. Great defensive tackle out of Illinois and a stalwart on the defensive line for the Cardinals.
Pass rusher too.
Gets after the quarterback from the defensive tackle position in a way that I don't think anyone else in this class and maybe even next year's class can replicate. Great pick for them. J.C. Latham, the offensive tackle out of Alabama, kind of the last of the maybe Guyton out of Oklahoma is also on that kind of borderline first round, second round list. But the Cowboys get kind of the last before a tier break, maybe at offensive tackle there.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, I don't feel great about this. This may be wishful thinking because Latham certainly can go way earlier than this. The tackle grades are kind of all over the place. I mean, you have some teams that are going to have one guy as their top tackle. In Joe Alt, that's where I had him in this mock going 5 to the Chargers. You're going to have guys that have J.C. Latham or Amarius Mims as their first tackle. So really it's pick your poison and figure out what order they go in. I don't feel great about the order, but I do feel pretty good about the teams taking tackles where they do. And the Cowboys need to go offensive linemen. JPJ and Graham Barton are both off the board here. So they need to not reach for an interior guy. There are interior guys later in the draft that they can go get a tackle, slide Tyler Smith inside to guard where he fits best and figure it out from there. You still need a center, but figure it out from there, whether it's Latham or Tyler Guyton, who's obviously been heavily rumored to the Dallas Cowboys. You just need to get your next franchise left tackle and please don't miss.
Yeah. That last part is the most important. Nate Wiggins goes to the Packers. Really solid athlete at the cornerback position. Chop Robinson, Mitch's whipping boy, falls all the way to 26 to the Buccaneers.
No production. He didn't do it in college. I wanted him to say you're wrong.
I didn't say you're wrong, but there does seem to be a huge infatuation with Chop in the draft community. So we'll see how that plays out. Production versus underwear Olympics. We'll see. Tyler Guyton, aforementioned, goes to the Titans. Titans double up on offensive line. Not a bad decision, honestly, but from the fact that they were historically bad on the offensive line last year. And if they're going to make if they want to see what Will Levis can do, they need to protect him.
And I think there's some position flex here with Guyton as well. I think you could play him at guard. Fuaga is a tackle. Guyton is strong enough. I think he could play guard, but yeah, their offensive line needs so much help. You can have all the Ferraris you want outside, but if the quarterback can't get the ball to him, or if you can't block for Derrick Henry, who's now in Baltimore, like it doesn't matter.
Yeah, absolutely. Screen and go. Adonai Mitchell goes 28 to listen, Josh Allen can throw it 80 yards and Adonai Mitchell can run 80 yards and catch up to it. I don't know that he can run a sluggo or a curl route, but he can run fast and run far. And that could be a key to unlocking that Bills offense in the postseason. And here's where you get fun at the end, Mitch. Raiders trade back into the first round at 29 and they get their quarterback.
They do. The Raiders go with picks 44 and 77. You could throw in a future pick, maybe a fifth or sixth, day three pick to the Detroit Lions. And I think you could get this deal done. Dane Brugler from The Athletic also concurs. He is 44 and 77 going to Detroit. And the Raiders do take the fifth quarterback of the first round. They get Michael Penix Jr. They do wait. They go tackle in this mock draft at 13 and then come back and get their franchise quarterback. I think Penix would be a great fit in Las Vegas. Some fun weapons out there. Obviously no longer Josh Jacobs. So I do think that the Raiders are going to look to air the ball out a little bit more. I've got my concerns. Can he read a defense? Can he be more than just a collegiate system quarterback? Now that Kalen DeBoer isn't his head coach or offensive coordinator, that remains to be seen. But I think the risk is worth the gamble here because the Raiders have some really fun defensive pieces. I mean, they made Patrick Mahomes' life hell last year on Christmas Day, but you need an offense to hit go to outscore those opponents on a week in, week out basis. The boom potential is there for Penix. The bust potential is also there, but at the end of the first round, I think it's worth it.
And we've seen Penix be extremely successful when he has that go-to wide receiver, right? And Davante Adams is still in Vegas last time I checked. So great way to start his career. Side note, we just got an all caps text from Garrett, and I really thought it was time for him. Apparently y'all are doing an HEB. It's not time for the baby, but all caps HEB. Congratulations to you guys for catching up to those of us down here in the southern half of the state with the greatest grocery store in the country. Right. And no baby yet. But last three picks here, Cooper DeJean, Kool-Aid McKinstry, Xavier Worthy. The Chiefs get a wide receiver with I think that has to be a wide receiver with everything that's going on with Rashee Rice right now. It's the same situation when they thought they might lose Tyreek a few years ago, right? And they take Hardman in the first or second round. I can't remember if it was first or second, but
second, I think.
Yeah, that has to be a wide receiver in my mind. And a couple of defensive backs there to the Ravens and 49ers that have been much ballyhooed in their time in college.
Yeah, you can't fix stupid, man. I've been on board the Rashee Rice bandwagon since early last year. I mean, in the season last year, I was saying this guy from SMU is going to go high. Get him on your team. I wanted him to stay in Dallas. And now I'm quite thankful he didn't because – yeah, if you don't know what we're talking about, just look up Rashee Rice driving accident, car wreck, and you'll see. Can't fix stupid. But Ravens get a very versatile defender in Cooper DeJean, who Packers Nation is furious with me probably that I didn't have him going at 25. Nate Wiggins is a better athlete. He is limited to cornerback. He's like a 170 soaking wet, but really, really good hips, really, really good hands. I think he'd be an excellent coverage corner in Green Bay. Cooper DeJean probably profiles more to a safety in the NFL. That nickel role, I think, is where he would really thrive. And I mean, gosh, Baltimore continues to win at the bottom of the draft here. Like, they just sit back, let one of the top 5 or 10 players in the draft fall to them value-wise every single year. And then we look at the board and go, how did that happen? But it just routinely happens, so it wouldn't shock me if DeJean falls that far. He's not a top 10 guy on my board, but a very, very good talent. And then Kool-Aid McKinstry, not as complete a skill set as I think Terrion Arnold has. His floor is higher than Arnold's, but his ceiling is also lower than what I think his running mate could give you. So certainly a first-round cornerback, but you know, is he going to be much more than what we saw at Alabama? I don't know that. San Francisco has the luxury of finding out.
Well, there you go. Picks 1 through 32. Mitch is going to go 32 for 32. No questions asked. Let me get you out of here on this, though. Who is one player that you're frustrated you couldn't find a home for in the first round because you think they deserve it?
Oh, that's a good question. I think Darius Robinson is that guy for me. Mm-hmm. So if you look over at The Athletic, he's going somewhere between 35 to 41, 42. In Dane Brugler's mock, he goes to the Packers at 41 who trade with the Jets. I think this guy, when we look back and, you know, everyone does those redrafts a year later.
This is the edge out of Missouri.
Yes. Edge rusher out of Missouri. My bad. Yes. I think Darius Robinson has a chance to be a top 15 player. Explosion, physicality. He just wants it more than you, and he's going to find his way to the quarterback. I think he's got a tremendous NFL future ahead from him, ahead of him. I think if I was to do it all over again, him or Zach Frazier, who's also had some injury issues, guard, center, depending on where you play him, out of West Virginia, I think those are two guys that you could very easily see going in the first round as well. There's one other, and I can't remember his name, the tackle out of Arizona. I know a lot of people are going to have going. I apologize. I just can't remember. Jordan Morgan. Morgan, tackle at Arizona. He could also be a first rounder.
Well, there you have it, guys. Thursday cannot get here fast enough. Make sure you are subscribed to the channel. Like us on Instagram. Follow us on Instagram. We don't like on Instagram. Follow us on Instagram. Follow us on Twitter. Make sure you are getting up to date with all of our latest content. Be on the lookout for our draft special on Thursday night. For Mitch Mason, for Garrett Turney, for Ellie, for HEB, I'm Trey Reeves. We will see you next time.